Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. Let me read verse 18, which will give us the sense. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. In our last lesson from chapter 8, we saw our Lord healing a leper. And we read about him healing the Roman centurion's servant who was sick with palsy with a word. And we saw that he healed Peter's wife's mother of a fever so that she right away was up ministering to them. The Lord had said in verse 18, We're going to the other side. They were right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. I've had the privilege to be there and be out in a boat going across the sea. It's a beautiful lake, hills around, especially on the north, and little towns around the coast. And they told us when we were there about how the wind comes up seemingly over the mountain and suddenly waves are up and it's, oh, they're just cover a boat. So we're going to see that in our lesson today. So he said, we're going to the other side. In verse 19, we read that a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Scribe. Who were the scribes? These are men that made a study of the law. And they interpreted the law to others. It's a class of scholars. And they became known as scribes. Ezra was a priest and he was a scribe. But not like this man. Why did he come to Jesus? We're not told. But he may have seen the healing in Capernaum. The Lord had healed a number of people there in that town. We don't know. But I think he made a real bold statement. Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, that sounds like a real good thing to do. But sometimes men like this man make sudden resolutions to follow the Lord and be a servant for the wrong reasons. I don't know what his reason was. But the Lord not only heard his words, but he knew his heart. He knew what he was thinking. He knew his motives. So in verse 20, Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes. And the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man, speaking about himself, hath not where to lay his head. I think it was like he was saying, you don't know what you're saying. He said, my external condition is worse than the birds and the foxes. They have a hole, they have a nest, they can rest, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. You notice that he called himself the Son of Man. I looked this up. Only the Lord gave himself this name to show his humanity. 81 times in the Gospels, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. So, the scribe got what he wasn't expecting. And that thought just come along as I studied this. It costs something to follow the Lord. And I think sometimes people have never counted the cost. I must have been blessed above all men. I never asked my father, are we going to church? I knew we were going to church. I knew what he was going to do. I didn't have to ask. If there was a church service, we were going to church. And when he went, we all went. I saw my grandpa do that as well. I've tried to be that to my children. If we're going to have church service, we're going to church. Sometimes it's not convenient. Sometimes we'd rather do something else, maybe in the flesh. I thank God. Back in Arkansas, they had special services on that special time. The fifth Sunday of the month, many of the churches got together at one church and they had a fifth Sunday meeting. Started Friday night and lasted through Sunday night. Did we go? Every time. I had a dear friend. Her birthday was the same as mine. She and I were the only two teenage kids that were there at the fifth Sunday meetings and the fellowship meetings because her daddy said, we're going to church, we're going to have a service. I feel the same way. Unless I'm so sick I can't, I feel the same way. Don't you? Do you want your kids to think that of you? They know what you're going to do. It's like being honest. If something comes up and you have a chance to be crooked, they know what you're going to do. When it comes time to tell something, they always tell the truth. They know that you're going to tell the truth. By the way, we teach our children more incidentally than we do on purpose. You believe that? We do. Very short rabbit trail. Verse 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I want to read Luke's account of this. It's from Luke chapter 9 and verse 59 through 62. Luke says something that Matthew doesn't say. Verse 59. And he said unto another, that Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So the Lord had told his disciple, follow me. Lord, let me go bury my daddy. It was a sad time for him. I think we all understand that. Death is always a horrible thing in any family. It's worse for some than it is others. Well, what did Jesus mean by the dead burying the dead? As followers of Christ, you and I are dead to the world, dead to the law, dead to sin. That means that the world and law and sin have no influence or control over us. We're free from them. It's like they didn't exist. A body in the grave is unaffected by all the things that go on the outside. Whatever they may be. They don't see the beauty. They don't hear the voice. They're not won by loveliness. But the Lord is talking here about a class of men who he calls the dead. They're dead in sin. Let the unsaved bury those that are dead. But you follow me. I'll just say this about that. It's more important to follow the Lord than it is to bury your relatives. Hard as that might seem. Verse 23 says, when he was entered into a ship, speaking of Jesus, his disciples followed him because, why? They were going to the other side. I thought we were going to get into the lesson a while ago when we sang, peace be still. Let's read verse 24 through 26. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. In Mark's account, he said to the wind and the sea. Now, I think it's the way he did it. I don't think he yelled. I think he just said, peace. Be still. His words were so powerful. They instantly stopped. Listen, these are the words of the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. Let the waters above be separated from the waters that are below. Let the dry land appear. Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb bearing seed, and trees. His word created all there is, and his word is powerful. I can imagine those men as they listened and heard him and watched what happened. They were amazed. What manner of man is this that even the sea and the winds obey him? Praise God for a Savior like that. Powerful. So awesome. So wonderful. Now the Lord had said to them, what? We're going to the other side. And what was happening? They were doubting we're going to get to the other side. But they got there just the same. Even if they had to go through the storm. Listen, you and I are going to the other side. He said we were. There may be storms along the way, but his word can still the storms of life. And they will. He'll be with us in the storm. He may be asleep on the pillow, but his presence is enough. Praise God. I love that. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace. Be still. What a wonderful thing. Why are you so fearful? I think it's a great lesson for us. The Lord said, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. I won't leave you nor forsake you. I was reading, I think this is a song written by Squire Parsons. He says, when he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this? They all did say, whom the wind and the waves obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. You know, when I see a man or a woman put words like that to a song, I know there's something in their heart. Thank God for that. I love good song. We got a lot of good song. And all of you that have worked so hard to make that's a reality, what a blessing that's been to all of us. Thank you. Thank you. Jonah, thank you for that devotion this morning. I was thinking about how we love these people. What a wonderful thing. Well, they got to the other side. And immediately when they came to the other side, let's read verse 28 through 32. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tomb, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, there went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Now, Mark and Luke both record the instance that we're talking about here. I'm not going to read Mark, but I want to read Luke, if you will, please. Chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Luke 8, 26 through 40. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tomb. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also saw it, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, you're going to notice that Luke only mentions one man. It's not a contradiction, because he doesn't say, nor neither does Mark, that there was only one man. Matthew says there was two. It seems like that this man that Luke talks about was maybe the fiercest man. I want you to understand something about this. I believe those of you that are younger especially are going to see this in the days ahead. This is not a sickness. It's not a natural disease of the body, but it's an actual possession by an evil spirit of the body. You notice that when the Lord met these men, that man, they knew who he was. No wonder James said the devils believe and they tremble, because they have no opportunity, no way to ever be saved. They're condemned. That's why they said, did you come to torment us before the time? We know we're going to torment, but are you come to do that now? Now, did you notice that this happened just as Jesus and the disciples came across the sea? It happened because God determined that it would happen at that time. It was certainly not accidental. These devils, we call them demons, are the same as evil spirits who can and do take possession of those who are already under the control of Satan in this present world. If you're here and unsaved, they can take you over. They cannot possess the bodies of those that belong to the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is in them. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, if we just left ourselves, we could do some pretty wicked things. If the Lord didn't keep his hand on us, if we just let go, we could do some wicked things. But people that are possessed of the devil do things that are extraordinary. The one that Luke talked about, well, both of them lived in the tombs. They wear no clothes. Wonder about that. They were so strong because of this devil. They had to bind them with chains and fetters and iron cuffs around them chained together, and they would pluck those asunder. But the word of the Lord brings them out and away. I've seen this personally firsthand number of times. It was on a Wednesday night when we were still in Anchorage, and I was teaching on this subject. And I don't remember if this young man raised his hand or he stood up, but he said, "I have one." And I suspected the same was true. His eyes would get big like he'd been smoking marijuana. Pupils just disappear. The service was over. I took him and another man into my office and I said, "So you have a devil?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "You're too hard on the homosexuals. You see it in her eyes." Notice that back in Matthew in verse 33 and 34, that they that kept them, talking about the swine, went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. And why wouldn't anyone want to see a person that was suppressed by such a thing healed of it? The wicked don't want anything to do with that. The unbelieving world wants nothing to do with Jesus. But it is true that all humans definitely want to see miracles. But they want nothing of God's power. We're soon going to see a manifestation of this. When the false prophet that rises calls fire down from heaven in the sight of them all. They may be excited and thrilled, but they won't repent of their deeds. Praise God that He's delivered us from this possibility. If you don't know the Lord, I want you to know the Bible says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Have a drastic change of mind about your sins and about who God is. You need a conversion. You need to turn from your sins to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And I must warn you, if you do not believe in Him as your Savior, then you're going to die in your sins. Die you shall. You're dying every minute of your life. Scripture says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Lately we've seen a number of you turn to the Lord and follow you, Lord, in baptism. What a joy that was for all of us to see you turn from your sins and come to Christ. You can surely see in what we've read today that the Lord is the undisputed master. He's God. He knows what we think. He knows what's in us. He's the Savior. And I hope that if you're not already saved, that you will call upon Him, repenting of your sins, make it known. I pray these scriptures have been a blessing to you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. May God bless you today.